The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's another month. That means another episode of Bread Club. We're back on Fightful Overbooked. Kieran RH, at Matt from at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. It's been a quiet month. It's the calm before the storm. The G1 storm is imminent. It's coming. We're almost there. Matches.
Are you ready for the storm?
Can you ever be ready for a storm, Matt?
I don't know, man. You bitch-ass people over there with your heat, with your 85 degrees.
No. I saw that tweet that went viral from like the Daily Mail or Daily Mirror or whatever it was. Fuck you guys. Well, our homes aren't built for this. The weather's been shit anyway. Like, we haven't even, summer hasn't even started in the UK yet. It's like literally raining and gloomy outside the window right now.
Come on, man. Buck up. It ain't that bad.
It is, man. It is. When the heat was kicking in and I got hay fever, so I'm like dying of sweat, I'm dying at my nostrils, I'm dying. Just it's not a good time to be Kieran. I like the summer. The summer doesn't like me.
You're dying on the sweat?
It's just hot in outside and it's not nice, and then I can't breathe and I'm trying to sleep and it's also hot, so I can't sleep. And
do you not have air conditioners?
No, man.
You can't buy a fucking air conditioner in jolly old England?
I'm sure I can buy one, but God knows how much that is. Like, and then the electricity cost associated with that.
The
Bread Club Bakery doesn't pay enough for me to get an air conditioner, Matt.
Think about this, right? Would Gabe Kidd use an air conditioner?
Gabe Kidd's probably fucking minted. He just signed a new Japan contract. Gabe Kidd would probably steal an air conditioner from the US and bring it back to the UK.
Or is he so angry because he doesn't have an air conditioner?
That's probably why the majority of English people are angry. Yes, it's because the summer comes and we look forward to it. We get through our miserable winter. We're cold. We're bored. We're tired of the gray. And then we get to the summer and we still suffer. There's no winning.
What is your high with the Celsius over there? What are we talking?
I've no idea, man. Probably like 30 degrees so far, something like that.
30 Celsius.
I'd hazard a guess.
Okay, so for us American folks, that's 86 degrees. Right now it is 94 and humid in New Jersey.
Yeah, but your homes are built for this.
Built for this, Kieran.
The UK homes are built to keep heat in because it's cold all the time. So then when it gets hot, we're fucked.
It's clearly and we not buy, cold we all buy, the time.
We're by global warming, man. You know, they weren't thinking about this when they were building these houses once upon a time. You know, global warming's real. Don't
perhaps,
let anyone tell your
perhaps
boss.
Perhaps you need a fan.
It sounded like there was a joke coming in there.
Nope. Just a suggestion.
I do. We have multiple fans, yes.
That's good. We need you to stay cool and calm for the G1 climax.
It is. They've knocked out the park with this G1, man. Like, the entrance getting announced originally was fantastic. And then the qualifier tournament just gives it that bit more importance. And then the two perfect guys won the fucking tournament, Callum Newman and Bolton Oleg. Like, that was the dream picks for many people when they both won it. I'm shocked. Like, New Japan are very much saying, okay, yeah, let's go all in on this new generation now. Like, this has got to be the turning point we've been waiting so long for. And I kind of feel like they've kind of got no other fucking choice.
No, I don't think they do. I think this is a breath of fresh air, but I also think it's bittersweet, right? Because we will now
it's
have
weird.
A G1 without Big Tom Ishii. And without Tanahashi, and the Tanahashi not making the G1 was kind of sad, the way that it kind of flew under the radar.
It's crazy because Ishii, it's like 11 years straight, something like that. Tanahashi was like 22 years straight. Toriano was like 20 years straight, something like that. Like, these are insane records. Like, the Tanahashi. No, of course, I'm very glad Toriano isn't there. But just to say, like, how much this G1 is changing. And they left a guy like Taichi out. They left a guy like Yoshihashi out. And they're guaranteed bangers. Like, people that are shitting on Yoshihashi, like, so thank God he didn't make the tournament and Callum Newman did. Like, fuck you. Yoshihashi puts on bangers. He put on a fucking incredible match against Ishii in the G1 qualifier tournament. It's awesome. But no, they absolutely made the right decision. And there will be people saying, you know, like, that check into New Japan occasionally to see Ishii on AEW. Like, what the fuck? Why is Ishii not there? He's going to put all the bangers. The dude is a husk. He is awesome. But he should by no means be in this spot over a Bolton Oleg or a Callum Newman anymore.
No, because I think it's New Japan's in a position where we need to turn the page. We need a new leaf. And, you know, as much as I love Big Tom Ishii, like, he's not going to fucking win. He's going to have a handful of good matches, and it really leads to nothing, right? Here we have, like, you know, Callum Newman, who's been a young lion. He was part of the United Empire. Like, let's get this going with this kid. Same thing with Oleg, right? Like, the kid put on a fucking amazing match to get into the G1. I loved it. So, like, let's do this. Give me Oleg Bolton against Takeshita, against Narita, Finley, Hanare, Cobb. Like, he's not going to fucking win the thing, but, man, we are going to get to see what the future of New Japan holds, and I'm excited for that.
The thing is, as well, they go in, like, if they didn't get a single win, you wouldn't be surprised, Callum Newman, Oleg, but I expect they're going to get one upset win, and who those come against is going to be interesting. Especially for, like, Callum's in A block, right? Like, A block is pretty stacked. There's no, like, kind of, oh yeah, that's a win that makes sense. Like, you know, that's not going to hurt anyone. Whereas in B block, you know, if Oleg beats El Fantasmo or Hirooki Goto, no one's going to be like, whoa, crazy upset. Like, but if Callum Newman wins any match in A block, that is a big upset wherever that comes. And man, you could, like, you know how much I fucking love Bolton Oleg. Like, legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers going. When he beat Tanahashi, I was like, holy shit, we're in for a chance here. And like, he beat him really quickly as well. It was in like 7 minutes or something like that. And granted, it's just placement on the card, keeping the show rolling. It doesn't really mean that much. But clean as a whistle, of course, and Tanahashi putting him over backstage. And then who was it in there? Because he had to get through. And then he beat Toriano. No, he beat Toriano first. Then he beat Tanahashi. And then he beat Taichi in the main event. And it was a main event, not in the main event, but in the final. And that was a match that easily could have gone either way. Like, that was entirely, like, you wouldn't have been shocked if Taichi got the win. And Taichi sold his ass off and made Oleg look like a monster. And for the first time as well, we saw a vicious side of Oleg come out. We have not seen that before. He hits Kamikaze, his finisher. Taichi kicks out. I think that's the first time he's been kicked out of. And he's grabbing onto his ribs. Chris Charlton selling the hell out of it on commentary. Taichi's probably got a cracked rib. He must have a broken rib. Taichi's marshalling through. Oleg just turns into a monster. He's kneeing him in the fucking injured rib. He does an F5 and then he hits another kamikaze. Like, he fucks Taichi up, and we haven't seen that side of Oleg. And that's so interesting now, because he is this wholesome monster. He comes out, he's happy, he's teaming with the good guys, he's having a laugh with Taguchi and stuff like that. But there's a clear, like, he is a monster human being size, and clearly there is a monster as well waiting for the right moment to come out here. Man, fucking, the sky's the limit for Oleg, man.
Yeah, no, I liked it that the, like you just said, man, the killer instinct is something we haven't seen. And when it got down to that moment with Taichi, when he kicked out of that first kamikaze, you saw that. And if he brings that energy into the G1, which I'm sure he's going to do, I think a lot of people are going to be pleasantly surprised, especially people who maybe only tune into New Japan for the G1. I think you're going to be happy with this. Again, I don't think he runs the table. I don't think he wins it. I think it's a foregone conclusion that this is Zack Sabre's G1. Nothing Fuck else me. Makes sense to me.
It's Zack is building up so much as well. Like, he had that interview with Sports Illustrated, I think, and he's saying, like, something like, at this point of his career, if he doesn't win the G1 climax, it feels like his career is a waste or something like that. Like, he's going big on the fact that he's winning this, and he's putting all his chips on the table, and it makes so much fucking sense. The only fear is that if he does, that I don't see him winning in the Tokyo Dome, because New Japan have a understandable hesitancy to let a foreigner win in the main event of Tokyo Dome. No white boys winning in the main event of New Japan in the Tokyo Dome. The last guy to do it was Brock Lesnar, and you know, then he fucking stole the title and shit.
Right, but this is Zack Sabre.
Like, that's what I'm hoping. Like, he's clear. He has outright said he's had offers from every company in the world, and he's turned them all down because he wants to be with New Japan. You think Tony Khan hasn't offered him big money? Tony Khan must love him. He puts him on so many cards. Zack rocks up on that right. Big match at Forbidden Door. That's a big place moment against Danielson at Wrestle Dream as well. Getting the win over Danielson at the New Beginning in Osaka doesn't happen unless Tony Khan says, okay, that's fine by me. Tony Khan must love Zack Sabre Jr. So Zack has definitely, you have to imagine Zack has said, I want to stay. I will stay. Just fucking put your money on me. Put right. fucking New Japan 100%. On my shoulders and I will fucking run a marathon with it. And he's so capable.
I agree 100%. I think, you know, look, we're 2024. You know, WWE's working with TNA, AEW's working with everybody, CMLL and Triple A are working together, which is something that no one ever thought would happen. Like, Zack Sabre Jr. winning the IWGP Heavyweight Championship at the Tokyo Dome is a strong reality, in my opinion. And I know we are still, like, 5 months away from that happening, but I think it's the only way to go, man. I mentioned when we got together last time, I was not sold on Forbidden Door, and to the credit of AEW, they sold me on it. Shane Strickland and Ospreay, you know, unbelievable match. You know, they the promos going into it with Swerve bringing up Will's wife, girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, his son, like, got me hooked. I'm in. I'm ordering the pay per view. Dude, Naito.
I just want to say one final thing on Zack Sabre Jr. The difference is, as well, I would say, between all those previous Tokyo Dome main events that we've had since like 1980, whatever, is Hiroshi Tanahashi is now the president. And Hiroshi Tanahashi has clearly come in and said, okay, let's get the young boys fucking going. Like, Tanahashi's leading by example, losing to Oleg here. And also, Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. have so much history, like, in the ring, that they must have such a great relationship outside of the ring that I feel like maybe Tanahashi could be the reason that we do get that Zack Sabre Jr. main event Tokyo Dome win. But yeah, speaking about Tetsuya Naito, I agree. It was fucking awful. The match sucked. The weird little spear thing through the gap that was probably meant to go through the barricade, and then like the fucking poor worker just got squashed. I was like, what the fuck? But it's so weird because like the scenario coming out of that, of course, is Naito is washed, and there's that's definitely a conversation to be had. I think it's less of a case of Naito just didn't give a fuck.
I agree. Every time. So first of all,
go watch his match versus Tsuji at Sakura Genesis. That was 3 months ago. That was April. Yeah. Watch how fucking good that match is, because Naito gives a fuck about New Japan and he gives a fuck about Tsuji. I don't think Naito gives a fuck about Moxley. Nope. And also, I think Naito's now at that stage in his career as well where he is a little, of course he's washed. He's not the person he used to be. He needs someone. He used to be the person that could carry someone and elevate someone. He needs someone to now meet him on the level. He can't raise someone. Right. He needs someone just as good, if not better than him. Tsuji is that person. Moxley doesn't hit me as the type of person that's going to elevate someone, that's going to be carrying a Naito that needs a little bit of a push, that needs a little bit of a help. But you stick Naito in the ring with Will Ospreay tomorrow and now have a 5-star match, because Ospreay is capable of that and Moxley isn't.
Right.
So Naito is a husk, but he's not. I think people are going a bit extreme.
Well, I think because it's I think it's fuck AEW for Naito. This whole,
by all means,
he gets his moment at Wrestle Kingdom. He gets his roll call. Then because of this working relation with AEW, let's drop it to Moxley. And now, like, he's got to travel to the fucking States to lose it to him. And then he's got to travel back to win. And it's on an AEW pay-per-view. And I just don't think Naito gives a shit about wrestling in America. Like, I think
he doesn't. Absolutely.
I think novelty for him is gone. Like, he's done it. He's been there, done that. He's done the fucking strong shows. He's done this. He's done that. Like, he's over it. And definitely showed up in a I don't give a fuck attitude at Forbidden Door.
He definitely does not care for wrestling in America, wrestling in other promotions. He bleeds New Japan. New Japan is everything. He doesn't care altogether. Showing up Noah, Jake Lee, all that stuff. He just wants to represent New Japan, wrestle for New Japan in Japan is all he gives a fuck about. And that's very much the character of Naito as well. But like his fan club diary as well, that you get translated if you're part of like the American fan club as well. When he'll talk about his trips to America, literally every diary that he does when he goes to America, he will repeat the fact that all he eats when he's in America is Subway. He doesn't go out and try food or anything. He just wants to be home. He just wants to be. He doesn't go out exploring. He'll have a subway. He'll go back to the hotel, and that's it. He does not enjoy the experience for whatever reason. So yeah, but also it is bad. That's not like we're like, yeah, go Naito. Obviously, Naito should be fucking showing up. He's representing New Japan as well.
100%.
So it's not good on his part at all. But I think it's also, I think it's a bit of a case of, you're right, Naito, fuck this, and also Moxley. They clearly just don't have great chemistry. I don't think the Chicago match was that good either. And Moxley not being capable of forcing Naito into that next tier of having a good match. Moxley again needs someone as well. So yeah, I think it was just, it is what it is. No one's going to remember it. And right. The most, I'm just fucking happy we got the title back in New Japan, quite frankly.
Well, you know, look, I think Moxley did a fine job. I also think Moxley is a guy who he goes out there, and if he... He probably got the vibe from Naito, and he was like, "Yeah, right, he fuck definitely. It. Let's just get this fucking over with, like, so I can fucking move on."
Yeah, Moxley definitely strikes me as the type of guy, like, he's not going to try and force Naito into an amazing match, like start whipping him off the ropes and forcing him into these situations where he just acts to act. Moxley's kind of like, "Cool, this is what we're doing. Fuck it, like, no sweat off my back."
That's it. Take it home. I thought Forbidden Door was a fine show. There was a lot of cool things in there that you don't. I think the concept of
I watched 5 matches.
Okay.
And it was about a 20 match card.
15 matches on the card.
I watched Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy, which I thought was fantastic. Awesome.
Yep.
Orange Cassidy absolutely holding his own and looking just as good and at level as Zack Sabre Jr. Just fantastic and a great another good win for Zack Sabre Jr. heading into the G1, more Otis on him to get that big win. I watched Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer, which, you know, the talking point ever since Forbidden Door has been people realizing that Stephanie Vaquer is great.
She's on. I felt like she was...
Superstar. Like,
oh, 100%. But I felt like she was leaps and bounds. Like, I felt like Mercedes Moné was like a step behind her the whole match.
I mean, we've both spoken about her match, the NJPW Strong Women's Championship tournament as well from like last year,
yes,
I think.
Yes, February.
Yeah, like early last year, and how good that match was with Stephanie Vaquer and Moné. And it kind of just slipped under the radar. And that was certainly the match for New Japan fans that stuck Stephanie Vaquer on their radar. And obviously now this is the match for more worldwide fans, AEW fans, more Western fans, where Stephanie Vaquer has come onto the radar. And now, you know, she's the hottest wrestler in the world. Like, apparently WWE and AEW have slapped contracts on her table and, you know, take your pick. But no, Stephanie Vaquer is fantastic. And she looks like $1 million as well. Like, she presents herself as someone so important. Like, you come out and she's like, "Whoa, who's this?" She's also really nice to meet in person. She was a very nice woman.
Always gotta rub it in.
Am I not so humble brag somewhere, man?
Yeah, I guess so. You got any pictures of that crazy hair with her?
No, this was like a month or two ago. This is more mature, Kieran.
I'm guessing you watched the Mina Shirakawa match.
No. Right.
Danielson Shingo?
I did. This game 4.75 was crazy to me. I feel like it was constantly waiting to kick up to that next gear, and it just never did. The Shingo gear where, you know, we just go bald to the wall for 5 minutes and we're hitting the ropes at 1,000,000 miles an hour and we're fucking dunking each other on our heads and we're lariating the shit out of each other. I just feel like it never kicked into that next gear for me, and I was just expecting and waiting for it to happen and never did.
Yeah, it was a fine, it was a good match, but
it was good. I expected better from these two men, and how long have these men both probably wanted this match as well?
Right. Well, there's a story to tell, and you can't, God forbid, Danielson gets hurt here. Like,
that oh no, go for it. Yeah, no,
fucks
no.
everything but, up. Yeah, so I absolutely. Guess you're, I guess in the Tony Khan was cautious and maybe asked them to play it a little safe.
Yeah, Shingo, don't decapitate.
Don't fucking kill him, please.
And just then with a pumping boner. Yeah, please. Obviously, Moxley versus Naito, and I watched the main event as well. Like we said, Swerve versus Ospreay.
Awesome.
I just, yeah. Not New Japan related, really, but...
No, it had nothing. Well, that's the thing. Like, we've moved so far from what the Forbidden Door is, right? When it started now, this is the third version of the Forbidden Door. Like, all the guys that were on the original Forbidden Door now all work for...
It's been
Jay White, Okada, like...
It's been said ad nauseum, like, Forbidden Door is losing, like, its point because New Japan they've signed all New Japan guys, like you just said.
Yeah, the bloom's off the rose.
So what's the point of Forbidden Door and adding in CMLL guys like Stephanie Vaccaro and Mystico, and adding in the Stardom guys like Mina Shirakawa and stuff like that, certainly adds another layer to it. And then as well, this time next year, you should be able to throw in your Tsujis for proper matches, your Shota Umino's, your Yuta Umura's, maybe even your kind of Newman's, your Bolton Olegs. They should hopefully be able to turn up more. And, you know, we kind of, Tanahashi doesn't necessarily need to be on the card next year, for example. And you don't need, I don't know who else was on this card from New Japan. There wasn't many.
The problem is a bunch of them were on the pre-show. Like, I don't, just don't fucking send guys to send guys. Like, Gabe Kidd was in like a fucking pointless four-way tag match. I don't know. I could just be picking nits, but I guess it was more for the people there.
I will say as well, it did come out. Fightful reported how apparently the main event was Will Ospreay's idea. He didn't like the fact that people were saying Swerve was a placeholder for Will to win the title at Wembley Stadium. Also, it was so annoying that that just became agreed by fans. Just this speculation based on obvious booking. Of course, Will Ospreay is going to be in the main event of Wembley Stadium. And of course, he's going to be the AEW World Champion, or he's going to win it there or whatever. And it's like, why is that a given? Like, he's already international champion. That was like, that what was the likelihood of that happening? Let's use our brains a little bit, folks. But no, the only reason I bring it up is because as well, I did tweet this out that the cage match, Will Ospreay's final match, United Empire were meant to win that match. Ospreay, you know, gets his big final hurrah, gets sent off by the Osaka crowd. But he said no. He wanted to take the loss in his final match. He wanted to put over the War Dogs. He wanted to put over Finlay. And he took that pinfall himself as well. You've got to remember, it was the whole United Empire. There was four other guys in that ring on his team. And Will Ospreay took the loss himself because that's what he wanted to. And he went against what New Japan wanted. It coming out a bit publicly from Fightful that Will Ospreay is actually a good guy backstage. It's stuff, if you've been, not that that was news all along, but there's evidence there. You know, Will Ospreay isn't a selfish human being when it comes to pro wrestling.
Yeah, leave it better than the way you found it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That is exactly the way someone said it to me.
Well, Forbidden Door, before that was the Soul show, right?
One of them was before, and one that, of them the after. One where the whole tour.
Despy beat Yo in the cage was before that, right?
Yeah, June 16th, we had one of the important New Japan Soul shows. We had the Oleg, Yano, and Tanahashi team instantly get back the Never Six-Man titles after dropping it. Again, that's another bit for Oleg. Like, they lost the titles, and Oleg was the one getting in Tsuji's face saying, I want a rematch. Give me, and then they got the rematch, and Oleg is the one that's forcing the team into the victory. I think Oleg even got the pinfall for his team. He beat Bushi. So that's another step in, you know, the Oleg just coming into himself for being more confident. A weird little short reign for LIJ. Clark Connors, Drill Maloney, War Dogs defeating TMDK to retain the junior tag team titles.
I thought that was a fucking
who
awesome
beats them
match
at this point. Oh, yeah.
Awesome, awesome, emotional, intense. The pacing was fantastic.
They are running the gauntlet. I wonder if we get like a Motor City Machine Guns pop up or something like that. Like, I feel like an outsider team or two would be really cool for War Dogs to overcome or to lose the titles to at this point.
I mean, we're gonna, before you know it, we're gonna be out of G1 season into Tag League. So it'll be interesting to see. And Machine Guns are done with,
TNA
or whatever the fuck you call it.
Shingo losing the Never Openweight Championship to Hanare just a week after they had that draw at Dominion. Following the draw, I didn't expect Hanare to get a win here, but it was such a fucking great moment. It felt like so long overdue. And Hanare, the music coming down, getting to do the haka after just winning the title must have been such an important moment for him. Obviously, he's so proud of his heritage. He literally wears it on his fucking face. And then, like, he's been on the news as well over in New Zealand since. It was an awesome match. And, yeah, I mean, Hanare is going into the G1 climax as an Never Openweight champion, man. That's fucking cool.
Absolutely. It's well-deserved, man. I mean, we talked about the cage match earlier. Like, it's well-documented. Gabe Kidd fucking waffled the living shit out of him. You know, he was hemorrhaging to the point that he almost passed out. He did pass out. Then he came back. Like, he had this great match with Shingo at Dominion, and now he gets his moment and he heads into the G1. And there's some, you know, when you look at the blocks, like there's some interesting matchups there where if someone gets a win over him, that could set up a lot of good shit.
That's always the exciting part. Yeah, the champions taking losses. Who are they going to lose to? What are the stories going to be coming out of the G1? But yeah, we'll definitely be diving headfirst into the G1 on this episode of Break Club. David Finley finally getting the defense of the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship over Sanada.
Nice to see him in a New Japan ring.
Yeah, he's been kind of MIA recently. I don't think it's his fault. It's just the cards at the moment. There's no need for him. There's no need for any foreigners recently, really. This New Japan Soul Tour has certainly just been a placeholder. It's, like we said, the calm before the storm. There's nothing major going on because we're heading into the G1. Forbidden Door fits very nicely into that slot, to be fair. But yeah, David Finlay getting a win over Sanada, retaining the title. And then, like Matt said, in the main event, steel cage match, El Desperado ending shows a House of Torture reign in a steel cage. It was a match.
It was fucking torture.
It was, yeah.
It was monotonous. It was very monotonous until the referee took the ref bump.
Yeah, it was a. There's not a lot brought about this match. They didn't. El Desperado wanted it in the cage. The House Torture couldn't intervene. It wasn't a cage match for a blood feud. It wasn't a cage match for let's go crazy and kill each other. It was a cage match that El Desperado could keep House Torture out. It worked. El Desperado got the title. And I must say, the House of Torture shenanigans have taken a big step back since. Like, I know they're not in the limelight. I know we've got the G1 coming up. But one of the points in Tanahashi's 10-stop plan was to, like, he realizes fans aren't enjoying all this interference. And does seem like there's maybe been a bit of a downplay in it.
Yeah, there was no, there was no interference in the cage match.
I mean, there was all around the cage, but yeah, they couldn't get into the cage.
Right, well, that's the point of the cage. Well, look, yeah. I mean, honestly, like, if they had done it 2 months ago prior to the Tanahashi 10-step, I bet you everyone's in the fucking Dick to Go starts the match in the cage. How, I don't know. He comes up through a fucking ring like he's the Undertaker or something stupid. So, look, I'm with you. Steps in the right direction, man. That's... I can appreciate it as much as I still think Tanahashi has the worst hair in all of wrestling.
If you look at the current list of champions as well, it's really fucking great right now. Like, let's look at who's holding the titles. TMTK, double tag titles, War Dogs Jr., David Finlay, the Yano Oleg Tanahashi team. What else is there? Henare. The only one that I'm kind of like, is Mercedes Moné, because I would like that to just be on someone that's perhaps going to do a bit more for New Japan. But, you know, who knows? Maybe she's going to appear on American... you would assume she's going to appear on American New Japan Strong Shows.
Yeah. And how about our new fucking junior champion?
I mean, we're jumping a whole nother show, but Matt's just so fucking excited. I can't believe it.
We're going to talk about the G1, but let's do all the G1 together.
I cannot believe it. Do you know what? They done it. The ending was fucking perfect. Because Suplex de la Luna is like the hardest move in the world to fucking hit. And when Doki hits it, it's game over. But he very, 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 very rarely hits it. So when he did hit El Desperado with it, I was just like, oh, we're going to see the Suplex de la Luna kicked out for the first time ever. And El Desperado didn't budge a fucking muscle. And I was like, I was just stunned, like silent shock. I was just so confident that El Desperado was going to win and that would be the first time it ever got kicked out of. And it was just so matter of fact. There was no bullshit. It wasn't a quick little roll up. It wasn't a back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Doki just hit the fucking move and won. Done. Statement. I was so shocked. Like, El Desperado held the title for like 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they put the title on Doki, man. Fucking fantastic feel good moment.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the match. It was Desperado the whole way. The way 100%. They told the story, how he worked the knee, like it was great. And it going into it, it felt like, you know, this is just, you know, Despy getting that defense in. But man, what a great surprise! And just the joy throughout New Japan. You know, Gino Gambino losing his fucking mind on social media.
I love that so much.
It's just awesome. You know, Walker Stewart was over the moon about it too. Stewart Walker, whatever. No, it's Walker Stewart.
It's just like, he went from being, I put this tweet, he went from being a fucking meme inside, like, his first Best of Super Juniors.
It was a
he
joke.
Came in
was, yeah,
as a last minute somebody, replacement right? for someone. Last minute replacement. There was two injuries. Ren Narita was a young lion replaced the other one. Doki was another replacement. He was fucking awful. New Japan fans were laughing at how bad he was. He turned into a meme. Like, we were sarcastically cheer for him, sarcastically want him to win. And then he just slowly started getting better and ingrained himself in our hearts. And we actually, like, legitimately were like, oh no, we like Doki. Doki's really good. And it took a while for people, like, that transition to happen where people realized, oh, we're not being sarcastic anymore. We're not being dicks. People actually like Doki. And he just turned into this fucking superstar. Like, the El Desperado relationship, the big brother, little brother stuff, being the full guy Suzuki Goon, the just tap out events, Takatachi Mania, like facing El Desperado, facing Taichi, and them just wanting the best for him in the big brother way. Like, we're not going to let you win. Come and fucking take it from us. We're going to beat the fuck out of you. And that's what this match was again. And like the death match stuff he's done as well. It's just, it absolutely feel good, man. It's like, for all intents, it's a guy that shouldn't have done it. Do you know, like, basically, like, he struggled in Mexico, he says, like, wrestling on the streets and stuff like that, and then he gets this really lucky break to get into Best of Super Juniors and sticks with it, and now he's the fucking IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
And ironically enough, he replaced El Desperado in that 2019.
Did he? The Super that makes Juniors. Sense. Yes. Suzuki, why he joined Suzuki Gun? Because Taichi gave him the call. Yeah. But man, it is rags to riches in the the perfect story in wrestling. Rags to riches for Doki there, man. I don't know how you couldn't be happy for the man.
And look, I'm, you know, just because I have it up in front of me, but like that year too, his only victory was against Ren Narita.
Ren Narita, yeah. I remember. Oh, man. And there wasn't a good match. Like, I'd love to see the match ratings for that first Best of Super Juniors that he'd done, because he was just awful. And like, he didn't, like, people were like, what's the look? Like, he didn't look that good. Like, the weird vest. Like, everyone was like, what's going on? Like, you know, he just had nothing about him from the moment he entered the ring, like his music hit and everything. And now, like, he's got the world in his fucking hands, man. Let's fucking go, Doki.
Yeah, man. And then it's just another star in the junior division. Like, let's go fucking Doki Master Wado. I don't know where he is in his injury, but, you know.
He's still recovering. And obviously, we've got Yo on the bench as well. But, yeah, like, you know, whether Yo was maybe meant to beat Show or whatever, but New Japan is certainly making the best of a bad situation. I feel like, again, like, all this positivity and all this good progression, like, maybe it is Tanahashi finally getting his hands in the mix, you know? Like, you can't expect him to get announced president and the next day booking just gets better. It's going to be a slow process, and maybe these are Tanahashi's decisions. Let's get the young guys in the G1. Let's get a belt on Doki. Let's try stuff different. Let's give the fans what they want instead of all this House of Torture bullshit, because House of Torture bullshit has taken a big back seat. And also, you look at the G1, the only House of Torture in here is Evil. And granted, that means once a night, we're going to have some House of Torture bullshit, but that's a lot less than two or three times a night that we was getting before. And who knows, with this, you know, the Tanahashi 10-step thing, maybe the interference isn't going to be as egregious. I'm chatting shit. We both know there's going to be interference for every single Evil match.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it happens like the first two nights and then Tanahashi comes out and...
I love it.
You know, throws it. Look, any interference, you lose automatically. End of story. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know, so maybe they pull back the reins.
He has said as well, I think the 10-step pen was he's happy to get hands-on with it. Like, I think he specifically said so. If we have him at ringside, whatever, I'm all for it.
I could have done without the LIJ 30-minute time limit draw.
I dug it. 30 minutes is a long time as well. Like, obviously, it was always going to go to a draw in hindsight. Although I just assumed Bushi would take the loss, I got to say. but yeah, it's like Shingo versus Tsuji. Everyone wants that match now. We've obviously got Shingo versus Naito in the G1. And Hiromu has aspirations of Naito's IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, and he's starting with Henare. He wants to challenge for the NEVER Openweight Championship, so that's a match that should be really fucking awesome that no one would have thought of before. Hiromu versus versus Henare. I put out a tweet, kind of clickbaity on purpose, I'll admit,
look at this guy.
People that think Hiromu should go to heavyweight are telling on themselves with the clown emoji. Because, like, Hiromu's whole character is that he wants to make the junior heavyweight division as good as, if not better than, heavyweights. Like, it's his whole fucking character. He wants to win the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship as a junior heavyweight. He wants the main event Tokyo Dome as a junior heavyweight. He wants to wrestle one in the main event of Prime Time Live TV as a junior heavyweight. To just say Hiromu should go to heavyweight because there'll be good matches, like, it really defeats the whole purpose of Hiromu Takahashi's character. And I get if you don't watch New Japan and you just want to see Hiromu have a banger with, you know, with Shingo, with Gabe Kidd, with Hanare, whatever, but it is kind of ignoring the whole point of Hiromu Takahashi, which is to elevate the junior division. And I love as well, El Desperado, after he lost the title, he came out and he went, I'm a wrestler. I'm a junior heavyweight wrestler. Don't label me as anything else. And I was like, fucking go. Because everyone's saying about El Desperado too. What else has he got to achieve? What else have they got to achieve, Matt? I quoted El Desperado and wrote in a tweet. Someone quoted that tweet of El Desperado saying, don't label me as anything but a junior heavyweight wrestler. And said, oh, El Desperado should go heavyweight. And at that time, at that moment, I almost gave up on humanity, Matt. Anyway, rant over.
We don't want you to give up on humanity.
Rant over. One thing we didn't mention from Forbidden Door that was announced, Wrestle Dynasty. No? Not feeling positive?
Look, man. It's AEW in Japan. That's what it is.
I mean, on the graphic, it does have all the guys that were part of Forbidden Door. So New Japan, of course, AEW, CMLL, Ring of Honor, basically AEW, and Stardom. So it's literally Forbidden Door, Tokyo Dome, which is fantastic in theory. It's fantastic.
A lot of fucking balls to put Ring of Honor on there. Hunk of fucking dog shit that it is.
Probably means Ring of Honor title or titles getting defended, I suppose. Seeing how there's not really anyone that's Ring of Honor exclusive.
I'll give you a dollar if you tell me who the Ring of Honor champion is.
Ring of Honor champion. I know Atlantis won the TV title. Ring of Honor champion. Oh, man. It's not Claudio anymore.
No, it's not.
That was like a year ago. Ring of Honor champion. I know Athena's women's, and I know, fuck. Oh, go on, enlighten me.
It's Mark Briscoe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I also don't watch, I don't watch AEW.
No, well, guess what? You don't have to watch AEW because he's on fucking once every 6 weeks to defend the title. Otherwise, he's in the fucking conglomerate with Kyle O'Reilly and fucking Orange Cassidy. Nobody gives a shit about Ring of Honor.
Blood and Guts match over. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I would like, wouldn't be lying. I'd be lying if I didn't wake up and see that news and I was like, oh, should I go Tokyo again? Like, Wrestle Kingdom followed by Wrestle Dynasty, and it's not just back-to-back Wrestle Kingdoms where they're going to stretch out Wrestle Kingdom. It's going to be two totally unique cards. I think it's awesome. It's a way to get Jay Wyatt back into Japan, into Tokyo Dome, which is exciting. So obviously love Will Ospreay to bits, but I think like him and Okada being on this card is obviously they will be kind of rubs me the wrong way. It's kind of like they shouldn't get the Tokyo Dome anymore. Like go away for a little bit.
They
like
left, you left,
you chose otherwise. Like, you went, like,
yeah. No, I don't look, I get like,
you don't deserve, thing, it sounds right? Stupid. Like, it sounds very tribalistic and it's stupid because they'll have amazing matches in Tokyo Dome and the crowd will love seeing them for the first time in almost a year. But also, it's like, you made your bed, go enjoy AEW, go make all your millions, let these other guys get their Tokyo Dome moments that can now get their moment because you're not here.
Right, no, it's like the being the fan of the band that like goes mainstream and then you're like...
Yeah, yeah.
You can't come back and you can't come back and play the little shithole club that you may cut your teeth in because you've went out like... And look, this is... people can be mad about it and you could argue with me, whatever. They're just fucking piggybacking off of Wrestle Kingdom. And that kind of annoys me because Wrestle Kingdom is New Japan's, like, that's their moment, right? And I know it's been a down year for New Japan, but now, like, here comes all the fucking Western fans. And it's like, oh, AEW Dynasty the night after Wrestle Kingdom. Maybe it'll do some good. Maybe some more people will tune into Wrestle Kingdom and explore New Japan. But, like, I've seen people be like, oh, this is better than New Year Dash. Well, they're still doing New Year's Dash because this is an AEW thing. At the end of the day, it's an AEW show. So you're going to get these guys that used to be in New Japan. What are you going to get? Tanahashi, maybe fucking Yota Tsuji in a singles match. But, like, it's not going to mean anything to the New Japan storytelling of the landscape. It frustrates me. It just annoys me.
Yeah, it will likely be a one-off thing. You're right. Like, Forbidden Door, the stuff that happens there doesn't feed directly into the New Japan story and the chapters that are being written. And it will likely be the same thing here. We'll maybe get stuff at Wrestle Kingdom that will feed into Wrestle Dynasty the same that night. And I'm sure there'll be people that are at Wrestle Dynasty that will show up at New Year's Dash. It's been a pattern the past few years. We had Kenny Omega team off Okada at New Year's Dash the next night after Wrestle Kingdom. Of course, Danielson and Moxley rocked up the night after Wrestle Kingdom for Blackpool Chaos Club. Back in 2020, when Suzuki came out and challenged Moxley at night two of Wrestle Kingdom, the next night, Moxley came out on New Year's Dash and attacked Suzuki and returned a favor. It's very tribalistic and very selfish, but it's like, this is our moment for New Japan. Like, New Japan fans, this is it. This is our moment. We want to enjoy it. Fucking get your AEW grubby hands off of it. It's like fans of WrestleMania. Like, casual fans will tune in for WrestleMania once a year and that's it. And then obviously AEW fans, more wrestling fans will tune in for Wrestle Kingdom once a year and that's it. And it's silly. We should want more people to watch New Japan and get enjoyment from it and everything. But at the same time, it's like, fuck you. I've watched this all year. This is my moment.
And I don't want some, like, fucking one-off match to steal a Wrestle Kingdom. Like, tell me a New Japan story at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't want you to tell me a story at Wrestle Kingdom that just ends the next night at Wrestle Dynasty. Like, I don't want fucking David Finlay against Jack Perry just for fucking shits and giggles because something happened the night before at Wrestle Kingdom.
That is that's very, very likely. It's going to be interesting to see what this is like. If this is going to be, you know, it's always a one-off until they know how well it goes. You know, if this goes very well, I'm sure it'll turn into a yearly tradition. And New Japan, every year, the Wrestle Kingdom week, Wrestle Kingdom turns more and more into a week. And they've literally set out a thing this year to say that January 1st is this, January 2nd is this, January 3rd is this. Like, you know, there's this Stardom show, there's this fan thing, there's this fan fest. Now there's Wrestle Kingdom, there's Wrestle Dynasty, then there's New Year's Dash. And of course, there's all the other stuff that goes around it because everyone, there's wrestling in fucking Tokyo literally 7 days a fucking week anyway. And then around Wrestle Kingdom, it just goes, there's like three shows in Korakuen Hall every fucking day. It's heaven. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited for Wrestle Dynasty, man. Like, that is one I turned around to Hazel and I was like, if I go Japan again, do you get another cat? And she was like, yeah, you know the deal. And I was like, okay, I won't go.
Really?
She was like, and she was like, okay, what if we get a dog instead? Because we want a dog. It's just money.
Because the dog handle the like, heat.
And I was like, well, I want a dog. So if I go Wrestle Kingdom, I get a dog and I get Wrestle Kingdom. But no, our money's fucked still. Like, don't let me go, Matt. If I say to you I'm thinking about doing it, you got to stop me.
Yeah, fucking fat chance of me stopping you, buddy. till the fucking Billy Goat slides in your DMs.
Right. If Will Ospreay slides in my DMs, man, that might be game over. But on Twitter, Sanchez Horn did ask, what match do we want to see at Wrestle Dynasty on January 5th? So putting you on the spot, you get one match for Wrestle Dynasty. You can pick
Jeff Cobb, Samoa Joe.
Oh, Jeff Cobb wants that, man. Jeff Cobb told me that a long time ago. He put a tweet out as well recently, didn't he? He is after that match, Jeffrey Cobb. I will go with, I don't know enough about the AEW roster off the top of my head. Who's good in?
What about Jay White, Kenny Omega?
That's basically. That's AEW vs. AEW. Get out of here.
Fucking Forbidden Door at AEW vs. AEW. Hey. Fucking babyface main event.
Kenny Omega would be Kenny Omega's always gone. Like, it doesn't matter. I always love Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega versus someone for sure. Kenny Omega versus like a Zack Sabre Jr. With Zack getting the win. Zack gets the win. Rematch from G1 however many years ago. But yeah, Wrestle Dynasty. I'm excited for it, man.
I'll order it. I'll watch it. I was actually driving the pizza truck the other day, Kieran, thinking, I think I'm gonna take that whole 5 day stretch off. You know, and I'll throw it down to you now, and then Jeremy can listen back to this or a Fightful Overbooked.
Wrestle Kingdom's on a Saturday, and the times they're taking place, obviously time difference might mean it's the night before and stuff, but Wrestle Kingdom's on January 4th, which is a Saturday. Wrestle Dynasty on Sunday, January 5th. So that's happening on the weekend. I know that doesn't help you that much. If anything, it's worse for you in your life.
No, not in January, buddy, because there ain't shit going on. Because it's cold here in New Jersey. Kieran, dare I say, I'm going to throw it out here now, live on the Bread Club. I think we should do a live Wrestle Kingdom post show. I'll do it 8 o'clock in the morning.
Bright-eyed, maybe.
Yeah, as soon as Wrestle Kingdom's over, we go live on Fightful Overbooked. Tired ass, jacked up on fucking energy drinks, double T from the Shining Wizards, and Kieran, where it's like fucking 6 o'clock at night, and he's like, ah, I feel fresh as a daisy.
Maybe 6 o'clock at night, but yeah, I thought he was going to say
what time would it be?
But I could do a post show. I think Wrestle Kingdom usually starts like 7 a.m. ish, 6 a.m.
Oh, the fuck.
So I'd be like midday.
Midday.
Wrestle Dynasty, though, will happen is starting at like 3 or 4 a.m. UK time because they pushed it forward to help you Americans out. Because
don't help me. Fucking 11 o'clock at night? Yeah, 11 o'clock on a Sunday night?
That's better than 1, 2, 3 a.m. it's starting, which it would have been.
Well, I stay up to that time for Wrestle Kingdom every year.
Fuck Europe. Fuck everyone else. Wrestle Dynasty. Oh, AEW's coming over to Japan. Let's move our time slots.
It's an American promotion.
Yeah, in Japan. For a new Japan show. Do you want climax?
Yes, and I just want to say, before we start talking about the G1 climax, please, for the love of fucking God, can somebody please fix NJPW1972.com? Please, for the love of God,
this is the
most difficult shit. I can't find. I want the schedule with all the matches. This is so ass backwards fucking stupid, this stupid website.
I was told a while back, because I had said the same thing, I love using that schedule page. Absolutely love it. When's the website coming back? And I was told hopefully in time for the G1.
Somebody fucking lied to you.
I mean, the G1's still a few weeks away, to be fair.
All right, that's fair. This website sucks a dick. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, them using Medium isn't good and admittedly not very professional. But yeah, G1 is coming up. When does it start? Do we have that information? All I've got is the blocks in front of me, man. That's
I got July 20th, 2024 in Osaka.
And I know night one, Takeshita versus Tsuji is the main event.
Not Naito Shingo? Because the match listing
maybe
it's
on, Naito Shingo.
The match
listing
on this god-awful website has it as the last match.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Naito Shingo, there's no way they main event over Tsuji and Thingy main event over that. But yeah, man, like, look, well, I think we're all in agreement. Zack Sabre Jr. wins. Like, we're not going to take it here. Shota Umino is an interesting one. He's like, is he going to be fighting fit going into this? Because, you know, he's still recovering from an injury.
He broke his hip, right? He had a fractured hip.
Still recovering from an injury, something to his back. You know, I think Tetsuya Naito will silence a lot of doubters. He fucking just shines in the G1, especially as the champion. Here's a question. Who's getting the win over Tetsuya Naito? Who's getting a title shot after G1?
Well, let's do this first.
There's an obvious answer that I hope is wrong. That
before I answer this question, for those of you who aren't familiar with the G1, this is how the blocks break down.
If you're not familiar with the G1 and you got 48 minutes into an episode of Bread Club, I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, maybe they just stumbled
upon
this.
This whole thing must have been so confusing.
No. Maybe somebody recommended it. But look, this is A-Block. A-Block has the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Naito, Shota Umino, Shingo Takagi, Sonata, the Great Okan, Zack Sabre Jr., your New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Heavyweight Champion, Gabe Kidd, Evil, Pro Wrestling Noah's Jake Lee, and Callum Newman.
Hang on. Why the disrespect for Great Okan, all hell? Why no mention of his accolade, his KOPW championship?
What do we do? I thought Tanahashi was going to get rid of some of these titles. All right, can we not? Can we just fucking get rid of it? Nobody's like, I hope I beat Great Okan so I can challenge for the KOPW title. Please.
They're the only person in this lineup here. Evil and Shota Umino that would actually Shingo Takagi's had it before. Never mind. Fuck me. Whoever went, like, I was gonna say, like, nobody is gonna like level themselves down to challenge for the KOPW championship. And I was like, actually, Shingo's held a title before. Evil's right there. He's definitely like stupid enough to challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Any belt to hold up your pants. That's what the fucking KOPW is. B Block, Hirooki Goto, El Fantasmo, Yoda Tsuji, Yuya Yurima, Jeff Cobb, the TV champion, Hanare, the never openweight champion, David Finley, the international, intercontinental, super duper champion, Ren Narita, Takeshita, and Oleg Bolton. So that's A Block and B Block. B Block loaded with champions.
It is, now that you've just said that out loud. Yeah, Jeff Cobb and Hanare and Finley. A Block, Naito, Great O'Khan, and Gabe Kidd. So the three champions apiece.
I can't believe you reckon. We just took a giant dump on the KOPW.
I was going to say, but B Block still definitely has the sexier titles. It's got, other than the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, it's definitely got the sexier titles. But yeah, like, it is exciting when the parts G1, because wins tend to mean you get to challenge for a title. You know, if Naito beats Gabe Kidd, he's not exactly going to challenge for the strong openweight championship, but the choice is there if he wanted to. I think, unfortunately, to go back to my question, who beats Naito? Who gets a future title shot? The answer is, and I don't like this answer.
Can it please not be former LIJ members?
It's going to be, I think, Jake Lee. I think Jake Lee gets his win back, and then they're one apiece. And then they go to another match, and it will also not be very good.
Jake Lee,
when, I wish when someone else was other than Jake Lee.
When you see him get in the ring, you're like, this dude's crazy big looking. And then the bell rings, and you're like, oof.
I wish we had some. Do you know what? If we could trade Jake Lee for someone else, this is like an almost perfect G1. You know, whether it's another Noah representative, like, you know, we had Kaito Kiyomiya last year. Even if you got in a Masakita Miya, because he just got that massive win over Tomohiro Ishii altogether. Another Noah representative other than Jake Lee would have been fantastic. And, like, your A Block is pretty close to perfect. So, you know, you have to have Evil there. Unfortunately, you can't. There's no, like, you know, kayfabe reason to not have Evil in this tournament. But, yeah, the fact that it's 20 minutes... We got 30 minutes time. Three people are going to like get out of the blocks. And then, you know, you have this playoffs scenario and all these things. The qualifying tournament to get into it as well. And the fact that who's been left out in that tournament. This has the chance that all the makings to be a G1 that's going to like set the tone for New Japan for like literally the next 5 to 10 years.
Does Zach beat Naito in block play?
I hope not. Because then that means Zach is probably challenging Naito for the title before Wrestle Kingdom. There is the chance, of course, that he beats Naito and he wins the G1, in which case he would obviously challenge at Tokyo Dome. I think that's just less likely. So Naito taking a loss to Zach, I'm not going to view that. Beating Zach, I'm not going to take that as a bad sign.
So do you see Naito, Zach, and who moving on from A Block?
I'd like Naito to not. But you're right, he probably does.
I mean, you can't have your champion not at least make it to that, right?
I mean, he can end up drawing on points and, like, you know,
doesn't. You think him and Zach go to a draw?
No, like, you know, the points at the end, but he loses on the fact that he drew, like, he lost to Shingo, so Shingo makes it out of blocks instead. But yeah, that's a very good question. Zach, definitely. I think you are probably right in Naito. I don't think they got a ball, like, Shota, and I don't think he's quite frankly there. Like,
right,
I know,
especially if he's still,
we're saying ad nauseum push for the next generation and stuff like this. But like, I think if anyone, Tsuji will be the one of the next that crop to get out. Unfortunately, Evil Sanada and Shingo are your realistic picks to alongside Zach. Right, basically, all of LIJ, no chance. All of LIJ,
no chance of Gabe Kidd making it to the final six.
Nah, no chance.
Why?
There's no need. I don't think New Japan feel the need. And he's probably, like, you know, he's already got a strong championship as well, and he's just going to be there to be a fucking menace and put on great matches. And, you know, he'll make the next load countless times, I'm sure. But I don't think New Japan see Gabe at that level. At least yet, he is I think his role as strong open weight champion is perfect for him right now. And then it's going to be interesting to see how they do handle him when he kind of is, when he drops that belt. Does he go for the NJPW World TV? Does he go for the never open weight? Does he even win another belt? I don't know that the New Japan see the same promising Gabe Kidd that lots of fans do. I feel like, I don't know. I just get that vibe.
No, I don't think, you know, I can easily, Shota is question mark because of this injury. Like, a fractured hip is not something, like, you need your fucking lower body to bump in pro wrestling. Like,
I think even if he didn't have the injury, I wouldn't expect him to go for it.
So I don't see him. Shingo's old reliable. Shingo's fallen into that big Tom Ishii role, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, Shingo is 100% a possibility.
Sonata, whatever, former world champion.
Sonata, 100% possibility.
Yeah. Great O'Conn. And doubtful.
No, Great O'Conn. They see nothing in Great O'Conn's company.
Zack Sabre, yes. Gabe Kidd, yes. Just to go on to the next round.
Zack Sabre Jr., 100%, is getting out of the blocks at the bare fucking minimum. He should be in the final. And if he does, it's one of the few things he will have over Will Ospreay in that he has won the G1 Climax in New Japan, becoming the second foreigner to ever win it after Kenny Omega, the first Englishman to ever win it, 100%. And Zack deserves some fucking accolade of his own in New Japan that's not being gotten to first by Will Ospreay.
Right.
Will Ospreay, first New Japan Cup winner from England, you know, first G1 finalist from England, first IGP World Heavyweight Championship, Tokyo Dome main event. Like, Will Ospreay's done everything as the first Englishman except win the G1. And at the time, we all wanted Will Ospreay to win the G1 when he was that main event against Okada. But if it means Zack Sabre Jr. gets this accolade and Will Ospreay had to, you know, take that back seat for that, I'm more than happy with that.
Will Ospreay paved the road for Zack Sabre Jr. to win the G1 and win the title in the main event at the Tokyo Dome.
He's going to do what Will Ospreay never could. B block.
We're going to say Naito, Zack Sabre, Jake Lee. Are those your...
I don't think Jake Lee gets out of blocks. I hope not. Evil.
All right, so Naito...
do you know what? They're doing this whole push thing about, you know, fuck evil, fuck House Torch, fuck interference. Sonata.
All right, so Sonata, Naito, Zack Sabre Jr.
With those three.
B-block.
Do you know what I'm excited? Like, obviously, AEW fans are, like, coming in their pants about the fact that Konosuke Takeshita is in the G1 Climax. They're rocking semis all over the place. Right. Get some,
baby.
And I'm excited, like you said, because he's going to take on a Bolton Oleg. And for lots of these fans, they're going to see Bolton Oleg for the first time. And they're going to be impressed by Bolton Oleg and stuff like that. And same for Yota Tsuji, a Jeff Cobb, a Hanare, a Yuya Uemura, all these guys. Like, because Konosuke Takeshita will be, for foreign fans, he's going to be the one to watch. Because he is the only, obviously he isn't Western, he's from Japan, but he's the only like Western wrestler that wrestles in the West in this card. Right. He's the only AEW representative, so eyes will be on him from lots of Western fans. And those eyes inadvertently as well go to the rest of the block. El Fantasmo's got an interesting story going in here. A bit depressed how he's got no friends yet again. Tama Tonga left to join WWE. Tangaloa can't hit a low blow to save his life. Hikuleo, you know, apparently next up, and he addressed the rumors head on. He said at Forbidden Door how Jay and Juice, he was texting them and they said they were going to come support him and they never did. El Fantasmo is a man without a home right now. So he's got an interesting story going into this as well, whether he does well or he does bad. He has enough and he turns heel. Who's he end up with? And there is also this push as well. Another one of Tanahashi's 10 steps is to make Hontai more sexy, for lack of a better word, more enticing. Like, guys go away. They're in Hontai when they're a young lion. They go away on excursion. No one wants to join Hontai when they come back.
Right.
He wants it to act an actual like character, a persona, a meaning like these other groups do. So maybe he joins a Hontai. Maybe that's a step towards that. He was in Hontai basically. No, he wasn't. But yeah, I just think El Fantasmo's got an interesting story going into this G1.
The B block is a little more difficult to...
A block is stacked. A block's got the hard hitters, the veterans, and B block is definitely the future generation. Like Tsuji, Uemura, Hinare, Finley, and Ren Narita, they were all young lions, like relatively new young lions in the grand scheme of things. I know, of course, like, you know, Naito was a young lion and stuff like that, and Evil and stuff, but they've far more ingrained than the rest of the guys in the B block.
Is this the is this another G1 where we're in a month we're surprised Hirooki Goto is towards the top of the list?
I wouldn't be surprised. That's a really good point, because he does go into this as the veteran of the block entirely. He is the sole veteran in this block, especially when it comes to G1 Climax. He's the oldest entrant in the tournament. So by rights, he kind of should be up there. Kayfabe, baby. But man, this block is, whilst the and matches in A block and the rest is in A block are probably better, B block is certainly the more open block in that, quite frankly, anyone can get through here. I'm not thinking El Phantasma, I'm not thinking Goto get through. But Tsuji, absolute possibility. Uemura, absolute possibility. And do you know what? They will put a champion or two through, though. So Jeff Coppinara and David Finley are certainly up there. I think Takeshita has a good chance of getting out of the blocks and then losing.
Really?
Yeah. Just looking at the blocks, because Tsuji would be my dead cert, I would say, to get out of the blocks. He's the only one I'd be confident enough in. I think we get
Jeff Cobb.
I think Finley will be the champion that gets out of the block. I don't think Jeff Cobb or Hinare will.
They're gonna how is the three?
And then I think maybe a support, like, yeah, I'm gonna go Tsuji, I'm gonna go Finley, and then I'm going either to Takeshita or El Phantasma.
Really?
Those are my three picks. I didn't realize I said four names, but those are my three picks to get out of the blocks. Because there's no Jeff Cobb is kind of probably, you know, he's at his limit when it comes to never open weight / NJPW World TV champion, global heavyweight champion, sure. Like, he's never going to be winning. He might challenge for the world heavyweight title. He's never realistically going to win it, unfortunately. Finley is a guy that they want to be perceived as that. So he needs to be proving himself in tournaments like this. So I think he gets out of the blocks even as the champion, and then he loses at some point. And New Japan have shown they're not shy of doing that. Well, Ospreay got to the final with IWGP US heavyweight champion, I think. Or he certainly got to the semifinals. But yeah, those three are my picks. I'm going out on a limb with El Phantasmo, I think, there. But yeah, I mean, Yuya hasn't done enough for me to warrant getting out of the blocks at the G1, and Ren Narita certainly fucking hasn't. I'd have Ren Narita taking the most losses in the fucking block if I could.
So I'm going Jeff Cobb, David Finley, Hirooki Goto.
Damn, you say fuck them kids.
So if three from each are going, like, are we going round robin then from there?
No, it's like, I think then the people that finish second, I can't remember, man. I can't remember. I feel like it's people that finish second or third face each other again, and only one of them then goes through, and then it's like A block versus B block versus A block and stuff. But I feel like they have a playoff match to get into the semifinals. But again, with the New Japan website being down, it does make things more difficult.
Gotcha. So the winner of A block and B block get a bye to the finals.
Yeah, yeah. If you win the block, not to the finals, to the
semifinals. Well, I mean, to the whatever, yeah.
They've officially qualified the finals of the next stage. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, man, like, there's so much to be excited for. Like, Jeff Cobb and Hinare facing each other. United Empire versus United Empire, that's an interesting one. You've got, Takeshita versus Oleg. Oleg versus Jeff Cobb, just, like, you know, the two literally biggest dudes in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tsuji has good matches with everyone. Like, he had a New Japan Cup, Tsuji and Jeff Cobb had a fantastic match. First time Tsuji won with the Marlow Crush, the double step up something. I think that was the first time he won with that move. Like, you know, who's going to get the win over Hinare and challenge for the Never Openweight Championship? I could see Tsuji or Yuya Uemura getting that opportunity. Who's going to beat Jeff Cobb, get the NJPW World? Who's going to beat David Finley, get a shot at IWGP Global? That's an interesting one right there.
Yeah.
Do you go to El Phantasmo again and reignite that history?
I would kind of like to see Yuya.
I could see Yuya, 100%. The thing is, though, as well, for the most part, you can see all of these things happening, like, aside from a guy like Ren Narita challenging, which, unfortunately, as shit as that sounds on paper, the fact that they had him challenge for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, if he did now challenge for David Finlay, it unfortunately makes sense. As much as on paper, it looks like a steaming pile of dog shit. Can you imagine?
You love it. You love Ren Narita.
Finlay versus Ren Narita sounds like the horrible, the worst match ever.
It's the shit you dream about. It's those fucking hay fever dreams, buddy.
I do dream about it, but it's called a nightmare. It's not a dream.
You'll love it. You love it. I'm fucking excited for the G1, though.
It's the same. We'll go in raring to go, high expectations, and then we'll fall one night behind, and then we've got like 50 matches to catch up on, and then it's suddenly a chore.
I'm gonna do my damnedest to stay on top of this shit.
There's so much potential as well, man. They've done the right thing. 20 people. You can't complain about who's been left out. Callum Newman, it's gonna be like, you know, Callum Newman versus Gabe Kidd. They've got history from the UK scene. Like Callum Newman and Tetsuya Naito, they just had that singles match at Dominion. And I'm sure this time maybe Tetsuya Naito is going to be the measuring stick for Callum Newman, and that he'll slowly but surely get better against Tetsuya Naito. He'll last a bit longer. He'll kick out one more move than he did before, and he'll hit one more move than he could before. And you'll see Callum Newman's progression every time he faces a guy like Naito. And New Japan do like doing that. Shota Umino and Will Ospreay is the prime example from recent years. They faced off when Shota Umino was on excursion. Shota Umino got killed. They faced off at a Royal Quest. Red Shoes Uno had to stop the match. They faced off a historic crossover. And that was one that went like 45 minutes or something, wasn't it? And like they match a year contender, like absolutely incredible. So I can see Callum Newman and Tetsuya Naito doing that. Unfortunately for Callum Newman, he will be doing the heavy lifting in that rivalry versus, you know, Will Ospreay elevating Shota Umino. Callum Newman will be forced to elevate himself.
It can, to your point, turn into a slog, right? Because if you fall in that behind, but there's also like, I like that Jake Lee is there. I like that Takeshita is there. I like the younger guys. Like, we're seeing a new leaf getting turned over that we talked about at the beginning of the show. Yes, Tetsuya Naito is probably going to rack up a couple wins and whatnot. You know, clearly not win the tournament, but he'll be a prime focus on the tournament because he is the champion. But there's a lot more positive than there is negative. The lack of outside talent is wonderful. Just those two guys is great.
People had an interesting one in that the guys that aren't in the G1, your Tomohiro Ishii's, your Taichi's, maybe, you know, there are other summer tournaments that take place. Noah have their N1, which is the N1 victory, which is the G1 equivalent. Maybe we get Tomohiro Ishii in the N1. Maybe we get Taichi in the N1. You know, I don't know when All Japan's Champions Carnival takes place, but that's the G1 equivalent for All Japan as well.
April.
I feel like you're right. It's been and gone. But you know, Ishii is in the G1, and he's already announced for this upcoming Dynamite this week. I feel like.
Yeah.
So you know, these guys aren't necessarily going to do nothing, and it would be really cool to see Ishii do Noah's tournament and return the favor, because he's had this feud going on last Kitamiya, stick them in the same block and they have another match. And yeah, the same again for Taichi. You know, have him do a little stint in All Japan or whatever, challenge for the Triple Crown Heavyweight Championship. He's got lots of history in All Japan. But it is the time right now. Like, the final's a little more than a month away. We're going to really know our main event at Wrestle Kingdom, because there's no chance Naito loses the title between now and Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. Taichi had some interesting things to say, too, after he lost.
He's an unhappy bunny.
Yeah, which is... he's kind of one of those guys who, like... I think he was a victim of circumstances here, right?
Yeah.
I love Taichi, man. That fucking... That G1 where he beat Naito... like he had like a really good run. Like
he was one of the like one of three people or something that beat Will Ospreay clean last year, and that was in a G1 climax, and it was an awesome match. Like when Ospreay was just doing his fucking I'm gonna kill and beat everyone. He beat Chris Jericho, he beat Kenny Omega, he beat Marufuji, he beat Okada, he beat everyone. He didn't beat Taichi. Are you ready for rapid fire questions? From
let's do it.
Our good buddy on Twitter at Will Pro Wrestling. I asked for questions, and boy, did he deliver. What would Callum and Bolton's theme songs be like if you had to choose? I think Callum Newman has one. He's got like a very pop punk one. Very much it's him, because every time it comes on, I'm like, I know this song, and I'm like, no, I don't. It's just a generic pop punk sounding song. He does raise a good point though. Bolton Oleg needs his own music. Like, he has said he's not a Young Lion, and he is still coming out to that Young Lion theme song.
Maybe he gets it for the G1.
I'm hoping so. I'm interested to see if he changes his gear, because I can't imagine him what he would wear. But I have faith in Oleg. He hasn't let me down thus far.
No, not yet.
With the announcement of Wrestle Dynasty, here we go. What should New Japan avoid doing with the show? How long you got, Will? Matt's got plenty of choice.
I don't fucking know, man. Please don't use the build to Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Kingdom stuff to try and sell. Like, let fucking AEW do their goofy shit on American TV, tell like a story that doesn't make sense, and you know, have fucking Mercedes Moné wrestle fucking Tam Nakano. I don't care. I don't know. I'm not a booker. I'm not a wrestling guy. I don't know what the agreement is. I don't. Sure, more eyes will be on New Japan, but like, at what cost? We're going into the G1 right now, and we're going the road to Wrestle Kingdom. It's supposed to be the biggest show of the year. Clearly, it will not live up to Wrestle Kingdom hype, you know, unless there's some drastic changes. But let's not let them put fucking Okada, Kenny Omega in the Tokyo Dome on an AEW card. How's that sound?
It's officially New Japan card, right? Like, when it got announced and everything, I think the announcement video was that it's New Japan. I love this idea, from Will. Do you think Kanari versus Gabe could be a big match set for Wrestle Kingdom 19? Absolutely, man. They had that singles match in a build-up to the cage match where they just KO'd the fuck out of each other. And then that story continued in the cage match. Of course, now, the you know, maybe there's a bit of legitimate bitterness from Inari towards Gabe Kidd because of the injury. But there's a story waiting to be told there for the Never. And he suggests it could be a way to unify the Never and Strong belts as well. I would fucking love that match. Do we think... what young talent in... What young talent has failed to build expectation? No, sorry. Let's start this.
I guess it is a New Japan show.
Yeah, I think it's a New Japan show. The way it got announced and everything.
Erase everything I said earlier from the show, and let me rethink this, and I'll have an answer for you next month.
A different question has come in just from Steve_Petro. Should Hiromu move up to heavyweight? Steve, I refer you back to earlier in the podcast earlier in the episode when I had my run. It's like I knew you was coming and already answered your question. back to William on Megasoft at Will Pro Wrestling on Twitter. What young talent has New Japan failed to build up expectation and confidence in? It's an interesting question. I would say, I think there's different ways of looking at it. Tsuji is the one that they have worked wonders with, and Bolton Oleg is the one they have worked wonders with.
I think Randy Reed is the biggest disappointment.
He is, but I don't know that he's not built expectation because it's his character and stuff. Like, I don't expect much from him.
Yeah,
so
but before he became a member of the House of Torture, he was like, when he was doing
fucking, you know, shit Shibata, man, like, that wasn't good either, because he wasn't good. He's not a good striker. Like, I wasn't a fan of him then either. And I was up for this House of Torture stuff. It'd give him something to actually fucking do, some characters to lean into, because being, you know, a Shibata copy was not working out for him at all. He was an awful copy. Maybe the problem's with Narita. Maybe the problem is in the gimmick. Not every young lion can be a superstar.
What else?
What should New Japan avoid doing for the G1 this year? I don't think there's much they can fuck up here, man. Like,
House of Torture. No House of Torture.
That's what I mean.
Stuff.
It's at worst, it's going to be one out of nine matches. like across the two blocks, and you can kind of grit your teeth and bear it. You know, I'm not, it's also, again, your expectations are low. You're not going and expecting Evil to have a fantastic five-star match with, you know, Sonata. You're expecting shenanigans and bullshit. So quite frankly, I don't know what New Japan just need to let people fucking wrestle, and we're off to the races here. Oh, also, Ren Narita is in the other block. I keep forgetting. There are two House Torture members. That's how little I think about Ren Narita, guys. He is just not even in my mind. Like, he's just a fucking... Narita needs to go on another excursion. Naruto needs the Naito treatment, where Naito just wasn't getting there, went
double,
to Mexico.
Double excursion.
Los Ingobernables. He met Roosh, fucking formed L.I.J., came back, superstar. Ren Narita needs to do that. And somehow find himself, because Shibata clone didn't work. House of Torture ain't doing it. You know, go discover yourself, right? Also, he's pushing it as a heavyweight, isn't he? Let's be real. Who, he was in best. Yeah, he was in Best of the Super Juniors. Yeah, let's not forget.
He's pushing it, all right.
He's fucking pushing it. Like, Callum Newman came in as a scrawny kid and he was like, I want to be heavyweight. And he put on like mass quickly. Like, no one's disputing Callum being a heavyweight now.
Right.
Ren, let's, you know, come on, buddy.
Let me ask you this question, Kieran. Will we see Ricochet or Dijak in New Japan?
Is that how you say his name? I've never heard it said.
Donovan Dijak?
I've never heard it said out loud.
Post G1.
Don't want to comment on Dijak, because quite frankly, I don't know that I've ever seen him wrestle. I feel like he's probably been at shows I've gone to and I just can't remember.
Okay.
So it's not fair on me to comment. Ricochet, I don't think would come back as a junior heavyweight. I feel like lots of wrestlers, once they get out of the junior heavyweight thing, and like, I feel like he would view it as a step back. And it's one of those cases, again, in New Japan, just wouldn't say, fuck it, he's a heavyweight. And eventually you get used to it and you go along with it. Zack Sabre Jr., when he first came into New Japan, people was like, is he really a heavyweight? Because he was so tall and skinny. But, you know, the submission style worked and everything like that, and he has put on a lot of weight since. I think Ricochet goes AEW. There's no... absolutely. But, of course, that then does open the relationship. That does mean he could come in and challenge for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. He could challenge a Hiromu and, you know, Forbidden Dawn, Wrestle Dynasty are right there. Then the Japanese audience did love Ricochet once upon a time. He won Best of the Super Juniors. You know, it's not like New Japan give away wins of their top two tournaments. So I can absolutely... Ricochet, Wrestle Dynasty is a very great shout.
Kid's a stud, man. He could have... And look, man, him and he could... I mean, he could challenge Finley. I bet you he could work really well with Shingo.
Yeah, that's a great shout as well. Yeah, Finley versus like a guy like Ricochet would work wonders.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Ricochet returning to New Japan in some shape or form. Like, if he is willing to be a junior, entering Best of the Super Juniors or a Wrestle Dynasty, which is more likely. Because, yeah, I think he becomes a bit of a top player, and not a top player in AEW, but he'll be an important guy in AEW, I think.
Right.
He's too big not to be.
Right, of course, yeah. Look, man, there was a time when he was arguably the best wrestler in the world before he went to the WWE.
Certainly one, like, definitely one of the most popular in the indies, without
yeah.
fail.
Oh, yeah, you won the Best of Super Juniors. Like, he was like a fucking must-see, man.
The first independent show I ever went to was Rev Pro, and it was Ricochet and Rich Swann versus Will Ospreay and Paul Robinson. And after the match, like, I did my first independent show. I didn't know wrestling existed outside of WWE. And Ricochet and Rich Swann were at the back, like, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures and everything. And, like, Ricochet and Rich Swann, as you can imagine, blew my mind. So I went, like, got a picture with them. I think that's the first ever picture I got with like independent wrestlers was Ricochet and Rich Swann. So there's a little nugget for you Bread Club listeners out there.
He, what did he main evented against? Kushida, maybe?
He's challenged for the Junior Heavyweight Championship a couple of times. He's been Junior Tag Team Champion. And yeah, he of course won Best of the Super Juniors as well. Like, he's no slouch. He wasn't like he was just there to fill a spot in 6-man tag matches. And the crowd, like, it's hard not to get excited if you're watching Ricochet in person, because he just does stuff that nobody else can.
Yeah, I think in the 2014, when he beat Kushida, like, that match was fucking bonkers.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Like, I know New Japan would take him back in a heartbeat, obviously, if they could, for one tour, whatever the case may be, and he's got that relationship there already.
All right, cool. Cool. Well, we're ready for the G1. Are you? Are you ready for the G1, people? You want to comment on the video? Let us know who your three from each block are going to go in to the final round robin gimmick. And who do you think is going to win? I think Zack Sabre Jr. Is the obvious choice here, but
everyone wants Zack Sabre Jr. Nobody's saying anyone else. I've not seen a single soul say, "Oh, I want Shingo to win," or "I want Takeshita to win." Everyone says Zack Sabre Jr. I do want to. I forgot I had this. If you haven't noticed, my wonderful jersey here.
I see.
From when I went to G1 Climax in 2015, first ever trip to Japan, and it's like, yeah, it's a proper. I feel like I always see Nagata wearing it. And I thought it was a lot bigger on me than it was. So I was like, I'm going to bust this out for our G1 preview.
What a
first
guy.
Time I've worn it in probably like 10 years.
It fits like a glove.
But yeah, they done shorts with it as well that I bought. And the great. Shorts are so fucking comfy.
Let's see the shorts. Let's see the legs. Show us.
I'm not wearing a shorts. I'm not wearing the shorts now.
You're not wearing pants.
I'm wearing pants. I'm just not wearing those G1 Climax shorts. I'm not wearing matching head-to-toe G1 Climax 25.
Maybe you
but
should.
The shorts are super comfy. But yeah, G1 is looking good. Wrestle Dynasty, something to look forward to. Doki is on top of the world. New Japan have all the stuff we complained about earlier in the year. New Japan have pretty much fucking sorted out, let's be honest.
Yeah, the pendulum has swung back in the positive, so let's hope the G1 is a home run, and then we'll be on our way to, what, Power Struggle? What is in fucking November? Wrestle?
I don't know that they've got anything announced. Power Struggle is certainly one of them.
Wrestling?
They've changed it in past years. I think there was like a Burning Spirit tour or something like that. I don't know what's been officially announced post G1 Climax. There's a show in America, Capital Collision. They're going back there. Zack Sabre Jr. has prominent placement on that poster. Make of that what we will. And there is the upcoming show this weekend, Fantastic Mania, in America as well. Gabe Kidd defending the Strong Openweight Championship against Ultimo Guerrero, I think.
Yes.
But it's a pretty non-eventful card, which is why we didn't bother mentioning it. What is eventful, though, is at Wizards Podcast. At Wizards Podcast every Monday night. Special guest, Fruta Wazoo. Who we got?
Let's see. By the time this drops, we would have just talked to Akira Kwan. Tristan Tai, whatever you know him as. He works MLW. He works a lot of independents in the state. We're working on some stuff for the July 22nd show. And then July 29th is our 700th episode.
That is scary.
Yeah, it's horrifying. So that'll be something to tune into, because I decided, after spending weeks trying to find a special guest and getting no responses, I told every single guy, I said, listen, I go, everyone gets a half an hour, book whoever you want. You have a half an hour. I don't care how you do it. You could do three guys. Everyone gets 10 minutes. You could do one guy, he gets a half an hour. Book whoever you want. But I don't want to know who it is, so it's going to be fucking complete and utter chaos at the 700th episode.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
That's what I fucking thrive on. I'll hit the fucking button on the StreamYard, and I'll just sit back and relax and watch chaos ensue.
Yeah, if you want to see a live fire taking place, then go follow at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, at Shining Wizards Podcast.
And of course, at KieranRH93 is your guy for all things New Japan Pro Wrestling and this day in wrestling history, which he does an unbelievable job at. Anything that involves New Japan talent, Kieran does a great job of covering. I don't know what else you're doing, buddy.
That's it, man. It's a simple life. It's not simple. The Twitter takes still a lot of time.
He's got hay fever. It's fucking 86 degrees over there. It's rough. It's rough living over there in the UK.
Leave us pale-skinned British people alone.
We got all-ins coming your way.
Oh, yeah. It is. I should probably get tickets at some point.
Yeah. Wait till the last possible minute.
Yeah, I'm getting tickets right at the end. Rev Pro are doing their show. They've announced a couple of matches the night before. I think that... Annoyingly, they've announced like Sabre Jr. versus Hechicero, which is like the one match I hope they wouldn't announce, because then I'm like, I can survive not going.
But then you gotta go.
Fucking announced it. But tickets are really expensive, and between All In already and like TJPW are doing a joint show of Eve, kind of, and Aja Kong's going to be there. So I'm like, I'm probably going to, if they were at the same time, I'm probably going to go see Aja Kong rather than RevPro. Yeah. But yeah, I will no doubt be at All In some capacity, shape or form. I feel like there's something else that week as well, but I can't remember.
We're gonna come back in a month in the middle of the G1, and we're going to talk about all this stuff, and it'll be fresh on your brain.
When we come back in a month for the next episode, Break Club, England would have won the Euros. Bolt and Oleg will be
good. Is England doing good?
Sincere question here. Do you know what the Euros are?
They're a soccer thing.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
That's all I know.
You've got a Copa America going on right now over there.
Me?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's taking place in America.
I think it just was over at it was over by me. It's in Jersey.
Yeah. The Copa America. Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you a fucking thing. I think soccer is fucking ridiculous. Football, whatever you call it.
And yeah, we got the Euros going on at the same place. England are in the semi-finals. We're recording this on Monday. England are playing on Wednesday. I won't be able to watch it because I'll be at a concert, which is very...
Wow, who are you going to see?
A band called Kids in Glass Houses.
Kids in Glass Houses. What kind of music are we talking here?
Pop rock? Punk pop-ish?
Let's see. Kids in Glass Houses.
They were my favorite band. They broke up like 10 years ago and just got back together. So...
Do you enjoy... they do the theme from Pink Flamingo?
That's just the name of a song. And that's also their newest song. I don't think it's that accurate. Wait, you're going to get overbooked fucking struck here, Matt. There you go. That's an old one.
Give me what I want.
That's a classic.
Give me what I want. More New Japan Pro Wrestling Talk.
There you go. He brings it back around. The master of the segue.
I wouldn't go that far. You got segues over there?
The little machines
you ride on.
I feel like I have seen someone on one somewhere. Like they're in the country, but I don't think we just casually see people driving our shit. I'd do it for sure.
Would you? I'd fucking wreck. I'd fucking hurt myself.
I'd definitely fucking crash.
Those stupid like little boards with the wheels on them that you just stand on.
Everyone had them for so long over here, and now I'd not so much.
Eat a shit sandwich on one of those. Not even gonna try. Too old for that. I sent a message this afternoon. I was like 1:30, and you were like, "Yeah, usual time." I was like, "Bro, my brain's fucking fried." You're like, "You sure you're good to go?" I'm like, "Oh, you'll know when you get older, Kieran. It's all fucking muddy mess up down there.
It's all downhill for Matt. It's all uphill for New Japan. G1 Climax 34 is imminent. When we come back, we're gonna be in the middle of G1. Bolt and Oleg will be undefeated.
Wow.
Konosuke Takeshita will have lost every single match within 3 minutes.
Wow.
And Zack Sabre Jr. will be so far ahead on points that he's automatically declared the winner. You heard it here first. Bread Club with the exclusives. Fight for Overbooked. Fightforoverbooked.com. Our Wizards podcast at KieranRH93. Let's go.
Let's go. We'll see you guys in a month, I guess. Hey, that was pretty good. That was good.
I was really impressed with myself.
I like it. Should we have outro music?
No.
Like feeding, this one's called Feeding the Ducks.
I've heard this one before.
Have you?
Doesn't sound like ducks are being fed.
You know, it's like real, like, wind it down. You've just listened to the soothing sounds of the Bread Club. Remember to subscribe at FightfulOverbook.com. Review. Leave a comment. Hit the thumbs up button. Follow Kieran and Matt on Twitter. Enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tanahashi has the worst hair in pro wrestling.